Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed Amityville Part 2. That was fun, I guess. again, it's me, your host, Alyssa, and I am coming at y'all with, it might be a short one. Not a lot of people have actually talked about this one. When I look it up cases, normally there comes like a bunch of podcasts and TV shows and documentaries about this, but this one didn't have a lot on it at all, and there's a reason for that. We are going to be talking about Takahiro Shirashi, and he is actually known as the Twitter Killer. This is a recent case that happened in 2017, and of course, if you can't tell by his name, it was in Japan. And Japan, their law enforcement doesn't really talk to foreign press, so that's why not a lot is on this case, because Japan's very close, and they're a close culture and a quiet culture, so when stuff like this happens, they're not really vocal about it. So, yeah, there's not too much on this, but it is an interesting one, and it piques my interest, I guess. I just had a stroke. But, yeah, I looked it up, and it was crazy, and I saw it on one of my Crime Junkie fan sites that I'm on. And I was like, wow, that looks interesting. And then I looked it up and started reading about it. And I was like, not a lot of people is talking about this case. And not only that, but it's pretty crazy. Like, it's crazy. I'm shocked not a lot of people are talking about this. Because it's kind of like the Toy Box Killer. Well, no, not the Toy Box Killer. That's not what I mean. Oh, God. I can't remember his name, actually. Oh, but there's a serial killer in the States that did the same thing that he did with the body parts and stuff. I'm not going to go into detail because I'm about to tell you about it, but it's crazy. It's crazy. So, I do want to say, first off, I know that before every episode I say trigger warning because it's, but this one is a very big trigger warning because it has to deal with suicide and depression. Lots of suicide. I'm going to post pictures like I always do, and actually one of the pictures might be a little triggering for people, but so I want you to know that if, you know, suicide is a trigger for you, and if you get like upset easily about, you know, thoughts of suicide, you might not want to listen to this one. But I do actually give a hotline number at the end of this that you can call, and we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk after this case because I want to make sure you guys are okay. But anyway, moving on. Like I said, this is the story of Takahiro Shirashi, and I know I have a couple people in Japan who listen, so I am so sorry ahead of time that if I mispronounce any of these, and if I do, feel free to, you know, correct me. I would 100% appreciate it, but I'm going to do my best to pronounce these names the best I can, okay? And also, like I said, I'm not a very good reporter, I'm not a very good researcher, but this one was so interesting to me that I wanted to share it, and I wanted to talk about it because it is a big one. It deals with suicide and depression and anyway. So that's to say there isn't much about the backstory on Shirashi and his victims. So let's jump in on this. They are a very private community, like I said, but I did find out a little bit about Shirashi's backgrounds, thankfully. He was known to be a very quiet and respectful guy, even before the murders happened. One person in particular was a woman that he used to live with, and she was even describing him as a very gentle and relaxed man. So that's shocking. In high school, he joined the track team and baseball team, which he earned a bunch of friends from. But those friends also reported later, when everything came to light, that when they were in high school, they liked to play a game where they would choke each other out to the point of them almost passing out completely. Like right before they passed out, they stopped, and that was the game. Which, wasn't there a stupid challenge with teenagers back then that was like this? Like they would choke each other until they passed out, or like hung themselves. I don't know. I don't remember the challenge, but I remember there was a stupid challenge going around about it. Like, who the fuck makes these up, dude? Like, who? I wanna talk. Okay, now, when he graduated high school, he went through high school, popular, had friends, he was great. He was actually working at a grocery store. And then when he graduated, he decided that he needed a change for some reason. So he actually quit the grocery store and moved to a city called Zama. And when he moved, he ended up getting a job in the sex trafficking business by scouting for women who work in the clubs in the, I'm gonna get this wrong, but it's in the Shinjuku district in Kabukicho. Oh God, I hope I pronounce these right. I'm so sorry if I didn't, but I didn't know what any of this means, of course, so I looked it up. Shinjuku and Zama is like cities, and they're like right on top of each other, so it's like an easy distance for him to travel back and forth. And then Kabukicho is the region that it's in. So like we have states and like counties. This was his quote unquote county, was Kabukicho, and then yeah, Shinjuku and Zama was cities inside the county. Yeah. I had to explain it for you to get like a visual. So he would also go on Twitter and try to recruit would-be prostitutes to work at these clubs as well. So he would get on Twitter, and there's like a sex working side of Twitter. I've seen it. It's very popular. Don't ask questions. But he would get on there, and he would actually lure these women that were supposedly sex tra or prostitutes. And I guess he is known to be a very smooth talker, and he can smooth talk his way through anything. So he would smooth talk these women. They would meet up, and then he'd be like, "You need to come work at this club." And I guess it worked. I mean, he was really good at what he did. Now at the time of the murders, he was about 30 years old. I guess he ended up getting a fascination with suicide, and he wanted to know, more about it. And that's what caused him to create Twitter pages. And yes, I said pages. This man had a few Twitter pages, but there was only two of them that was very well known and very popular. Like, a lot of people followed these Twitter pages. The first one was named I Want to Die. And on that one, he pretended to be a lonely man looking for companionship to ease his pain. And then the second one that was really popular, it was called A Professional at Hanging, where he pretended to be a suicide guru and he can help you commit suicide. Also, his profile pic is horrible. Remember earlier when I said I was gonna post the pictures, but one picture in particular might have been triggering? Yeah, his profile pic might be really triggering. It's nothing gory. It's just it's an anime character, and the anime character has a bunch of cuts on his wrist and his face and his body, and then there's a red ring around his neck that looks like he just hung himself. It's really horrible. So, like I said, please be careful when you look at my Twitter. I'm gonna put it on the very last frame. So that's the last picture you see, just in case you don't want to see it. So yeah, it's horrible. I couldn't believe that Twitter didn't flag it, you know? I'm just like, you flag everything else, Twitter, and then this profile picture comes up and you're just like, yeah, that looks good. That looks great. Love it. Love the energy you're giving out. Like, stupid. Anyway, Shirashi knew that the suicide rate was high. Actually, suicide right now is number sixth cause of death in the whole entire world right now, which is freaking crazy. Like, I can't even believe that. But he, like I said, he was also a smooth talker. So he used both of those to his advantage with these Twitter pages. He killed all of his victims between October and August of 2017, so he moved pretty quickly. The first victim, or most of his victims, were women, but also there was one man who was actually a boyfriend to one of his victims. We'll talk about that in a minute, but they ranged, all of the victims ranged from 15 years old to 26 years old. So it was kind of an age gap. And yeah, really shitty. Which it gets even shittier when you find out what he did to these women. He would talk to these women on Twitter, kind of build a relationship with them, get them comfortable. And then when they came out to him as, you know, well, I really am suicidal and want to kill myself, he would. Sorry, guys, you can probably hear my chair. I'm shifting. But anyway, he would get a relationship, and then he would tell them that, hey, you know, I'm a guru or whatever, and I can help you kill yourself. Sometimes they even made a pact with each other that after he killed her, he would off himself afterwards. Which I don't know how that worked. I don't know if that gave them like a sense of, I'm not gonna be doing this alone. So maybe that gave them the courage to do it. I don't know, but that's really shitty. That's really shitty. So I want to take this time right now to kind of quickly talk about his first victim, how it all started. Shirashi said that his first victim was actually a 20-year-old named, I do have it, a 20-year-old named Mizuki. And she actually apparently wanted a loan that she gave him back. She asked for the money back, and I don't know, I guess he flipped out and killed her. But when she went missing, the boyfriend came looking for her and he was one of the victims. I have all their names and stuff, so I'm like pulling it up. His name was Nishinaka Shogo. He was 20, and he actually went and looked for her. And Shirashi was like, "Oh shit, he's about to discover me." And so he's like, "Yeah, no problem. I seen her. She's safe. She's at my apartment," or whatever. I don't know what the hell he said to him, but somehow he lured the boyfriend back to his apartment. Don't understand how, but he did. And then when he was at the apartment, he ended up killing the boyfriend. So that was the one man that he killed. That's why his routine, I guess, was thrown off with the one guy, because everyone else was women. So that was his first victims. And actually, he was talking about later, when he was talking about the victims, he said that the very first victim that he killed, it was really hard to dispose of the bodies, but as soon as he got that out of the way, it was nothing. It was so easy. He could get them out of the house within one day. He said the first body took him a couple days to dispose of, but then after he got the routine down with that one body, he could get the bodies out in one day, a couple hours. Which, okay, and I'll talk about that later. Which is crazy, because his apartment was so freaking small. Okay, we'll talk about it later. It's coming up. So altogether, this man would take 9 lives, 8 women and 1 man. I think it was he killed that one woman in October, then he killed four people in November. Or why am I like this? Why am I like this? Okay, so yeah, August he killed one person. September he killed 4 people, and then October he killed 4 people. Had to think. You ever do that? Where you have to like January, February, March, April, May, June, June. So yeah, that was what I had to do. I had to like think. Wow, brain fart. So he killed altogether 9 people. Like I said, on Twitter he would sweet talk them, and he would like make them feel comfortable with him, comfortable enough to meet up at a train station. That was where they met, because apparently the train station was really close to their houses, and they would meet at the train station to kind of relax. They would transport them to the themselves from the train station to his apartment, and then when they get to the apartment, he would lock the door behind them, feed them alcohol, tranquilizers, and sleeping pills to help them get relaxed. When they were finally dazed and calm, he would proceed to beat them and assault them. Then he would choke them and kill them however he wanted. So could you imagine, like, this whole ride there to his house, thinking about what you're about to do, thinking about, and then you get to this guy's house, and like he feeds you all this shit to help calm you, only to be turned around, and like you think you're th they're probably thinking that this suicide is gonna be a quick, painless thing, and then like for him to just not do that at all, it's just I can't imagine how horrible these women were feeling, especially the boyfriend. Like, that's a good boyfriend right there. Your girlfriend went missing, you're gonna fucking look for him. Like, I can't imagine. So after he did all that, he would take them to the bathroom, where he would dismember their bodies because he said it was easier to destroy the evidence. He placed their body parts in trash bags, then used the neighbor's trash bin to throw them away. Like, he was even quoted saying, "I disposed of their flesh and internal organs like garbage, but kept their bones out of fear that I would be caught." And at one point, he was reported for suspecting of dumping a body. Like, really? Number one, did that neighbor not take his trash out frequently? Like, I don't know how trash routes run in Japan, but in America, our trash comes once a week. So you're telling me that your neighbor didn't take his trash out, see his bin was gone, notice his bin at the end of the drive, like, that's a little suspicious, and then went and then noticed all the fucking body parts and shit in his trash. Like, I don't understand how you didn't get caught immediately. Like, sloppy. You didn't even take it to a different location to dump it. You put it in your neighbor's trash can and put it in the. What the fuck? Come on, people. Really? I know Japan is very quiet and they turn, like, I don't want any part of this shit, turn the other way. But come on. I mean, if I found my neighbor using my trash bin and there's, like, body parts and a trash bag in my trash bin, I'd call the police and just watch from inside. I don't know. I don't care. I'd just fucking say something, I don't understand. Sorry, I went on a rant. Anyway, but yeah, someone actually ended up trying to charge him from they thought he was dumping a body. So maybe that was the neighbor. Maybe that was the neighbor saying, "Hey, there's something weird in my trash can." But police didn't go and investigate it because when right after they got the call about the maybe dumping body parts, they actually got information about him and they were ready to go and get him to arrest him for the murders, which we're about to talk about right now. A 23-year-old woman went missing named Eiko Tamura. Tamura? And her brother, good fucking brother. He knew something was wrong. Obviously, she was depressed and I guess vocal about wanting to kill herself. So when she didn't come home that night or whatever, he knew something was wrong. Tracked down her profile on Twitter. He like hacked into her account and he found the conversation between her and the fake profile Shirashi was using. And he immediately reported it to police. He gave them the address that they would be going to. They gave him, like, they went to the train station, like, everything, which is amazing. But he even went further than that and went on Shirashi's profile to find a woman that was actually going to meet up with Shirashi soon. Like, I think they were going to meet up the next day. And he begged her to not go at all. And the police actually, after everything happened, interviewed her, and she told police that her Shirashi told her that if he were to help her kill herself, like suicide, then she would need to give him all of her assets before that happened. So I don't know if it was just with her, because all the other women, obviously, there's no record of him telling them that. But then again, they're not really alive now to talk and tell us that that's really. So, what a piece of shit, right? Like, yeah, I'm gonna help you kill yourself, but you're gonna give me all your assets first. Dick. But good on that brother, man. That's why Crime Junkies, if you ever listen to Crime Junkies, please do. They're amazing. Britt and Ash. And they have a thing called If I Go Missing folder, which, guys, I'm telling you right now, if you don't have a folder like this, I don't have a folder like this, but I'm working on it, okay? Don't judge me. You guys should all have a folder like this. It should have your passcodes to like your social media. You can have like some DNA in there, like a tooth you lost or some hair. like everything. Everything, like your phone password, and like maybe a note that says, if I go missing, I give you permission to look through all my shit. Because you don't understand, if you do go missing, you don't understand how long it takes if they don't have your information or nobody in your family knows your information to your Twitter accounts and even your phone. It can take weeks, maybe even months to get a hold of that and them let you in. So if you have an I Go Missing folder, that would be awesome. And I am actually guilty of this. Like I have went to a couple sites online to get stuff, the free sites. I actually went online to get a cat because I really wanted a cat, and I had to go to this woman's house. And I am very like sketchy about it. So I texted my husband the address. I texted her name. I even screenshotted her profile picture so he would know, like, this is her. If I go missing, this is who you're looking for. Everything turned out fine, of course. And then I got another animal, but she wanted, it was like in a really sketchy neighborhood. Like I was really sketched out and couldn't wait to get the fuck out of there. And she wanted me to come in her apartment to get the cat. And I didn't feel comfortable with that. So I called my mom and I was like, "Mom, I've given you my location. If you hear some shit, hang up, call 911 and tell them where I'm at." So this whole entire time I'm on the phone with my mom and she's not talking at all. She's just listening. 'Cause I was like, if I'm dying, I want you to know. Please help. I listen to too many crime shows. Okay, but I mean, I'm paranoid. You can't trust people anymore in this day and age. For real, it's fucking crazy out there. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing to let people know, just in case something does happen, because you don't know what's gonna happen. Anyway. Sorry for the long rant. I do that a lot. Anyway, on October 31st, so Halloween in 2017, the police went to Shirashi's apartment and arrested him. And when they went inside, they were met with what they would call the House of Horrors. And oh my God, guys, this is the reason why I'm shocked. Not a lot of people are talking about this case because what they found is freaking crazy. It's ridiculous. There was nine heads and a bunch of body parts stuffed inside coolers and toolboxes around the whole entire apartment. They also found plastic bands, ropes, a saw, a hatchet, kitchen knives, and goggles. Okay. Gonna pause right there because oh god damn it, I'm about to go on another rant, but I'm gonna post a picture of this fucking apartment, okay? It is tiny, like a dorm room tiny. Most of the apartments in Japan are really small. Okay, that I've heard of. Okay, I've never really been to Japan, but like when people do talk about visiting, they do say that the apartments are seriously small. Okay, this guy's apartment was fucking tiny. Tiny. Which blows my mind that, again, how was he not caught immediately? Okay, I don't know if Japan has like state-of-the-art soundproof walls to where you can't hear nine people being slaughtered in the fucking apartment next to you. But if they do, I want an apartment like that, okay? I want to sing at the top of my lungs to the point where my neighbors can't fucking hear me. I mean, it is so tiny. How did your neighbors not hear you raping, beating, and dismembering nine people. Nine people. And the stench from those body parts didn't seep through the walls or out in the hallway. Like, so much shit doesn't make sense with this. Like, who, if you heard someone freaking out and screaming, I just don't understand. Are you knitting on the couch like, oh, Shirashi's up to his shit again? It's okay, just turn up the TV, sweetie. Like, what the fuck? Like, you don't, what? Okay. I swear to God, you guys will understand my anger when you see this apartment. My fucking kitchen is bigger than this apartment. And not one person, not one call about, hey, someone's screaming bloody murder next door. Could you come check it out? Japan, man. Come on. Come on. Anyway. When they searched even further of this apartment, they did find the 23-year-old's Aoki. They found her purse containing her bank cards and some of her belongings. Later, when they go visit the train station, they will actually find footage of her and Shirashi talking and getting on the train to go to his place. And if that wasn't enough to be like, oh, this guy did it, the DNA test came back and did identify her as well. So, you know. Now we're gonna get on to the trial, which was crazy. It's absurd. Like, I can't even. Okay, when Shirashi was arrested, his dad actually got to talk to him, and Shirashi confessed to him about having really dark thoughts and his curiosity of suicide and how he kind of just acted on it and experimented. So the trial, a lot of people came to this trial. I'm talking 400 people were recorded to show up at this trial, even though the courtroom only had 16 seats inside. So there were 16 people allowed to sit in the seats, and I'm sure some people were probably standing up around, but like so many people were outside just waiting to hear the verdict on this. When the trial started, this is some bullshit. When the trial started, and hold on to yourselves because you're gonna get pissed like I did, his defense team immediately went in on the bullshit. They tried to say that since the victims were suicidal and very vocal about it to their families, this was a consensual murder. A consensual murder, everyone. They even said that the victim's fighting back was conditional reflexes that the body had when being attacked. But it was all consensual still. All of it. Even the rape, apparently. Ain't that some bullshit? And they were fighting hard for that. They were fighting like they wanted him to kill her, or they wanted him to kill them. They went to his house and agreed for him to kill them. And like, no. Okay, now, even though his team is saying that it was consensual, Shirashi is seriously sitting there disagreeing with them through all of it. He's even telling the interviewers, I killed them for financial reasons and to satisfy my sexual desires. There was no consent. So he even says, there wasn't any consent. I did this for myself. He even went as far as calling his defense teams, his defense team effort a betrayal because they were lying to the jury and going against his wishes to speed up the trial. I'm going to talk about that right now. He said the verdict was taking too long and he would accept the death penalty. He wasn't even fighting it. He's just like, yeah, I did it because I wanted to. Just give me the death penalty and end it. Let's go. I'm done. He told everyone, I have said repeatedly that I will accept the indictment and want to end the trial as soon as possible because it is causing an inconvenience to my relatives. But this wish is being ignored. Like, excuse me? They're causing an inconvenience to your relatives? You just took 9 lives. What about the relatives of those victims and their inconvenience to have their kid, their brother, their sister, their child taken away from them because you are a fucking monster, you loser? Like, I'm so sorry your family is inconvenienced because of your actions. Which, honestly, yeah, feel bad for the family. It's not the family's fault. You're a piece of shit. But suck it up, man. Suck it up. You deserve it. Shut up. Inconvenience, fucking asshole. Anyway, when this reasoning was clearly not working, talking about the whole, they gave him permission to do all this and it's consensual, that wasn't working, obviously. He was pretty much saying, no, my defense team is stupid. I literally did this. They tried to turn it and say he was mentally unstable. However, after 5 months of psychological tests, it proved that he was healthy and fine, including him agreeing with the doctors. So while his defense team was like, okay, we'll turn it and say you're unstable, psychologists did so many tests, and while they're doing tests, he's like, I'm telling you, I'm fine. I'm not mentally unstable. I'm fine. Like, I know what I did. I know. I did it. There's nothing wrong with me. Like, oh god. I also want to squeeze in here real quick before we continue that people were asking him so much about this, like the press and the interviewers, that he ended up being like, you know what? If you want to interview me from here on out, you're going to have to pay me. Pay you. Bitch, you're on death row. You're about to be sentenced to death. What the fuck do you need money for? Why the fuck do you need money? You're not gonna use it where you're going, okay? Shut up. It's not gonna stop. Like, fuck you. Anyway, thankfully, we got a good judge. Fucking the judge was amazing. And I'm sorry if I pronounced his name wrong. It was Judge Naokuni Yano. And he was not having any of this bullshit. He knew all of it was stupid. There's lying through his teeth. Bullshit. So he ended up telling the courtroom, none of the victims agreed to be killed. The defendant was found to be fully responsible. All the murders were well planned, and the modus operandi makes it one of the most malicious murders ever in the history of crime. It caused massive shock and anxiety to a society where the use of social media is commonplace. So the judge is pretty much saying, you're stupid. I know this is bullshit. You killed them without consent. You even said it yourself, okay? He's also saying that this is one of the worst crimes that he has ever seen, which to us, maybe not really. I mean, it is god awful, don't get me wrong, but I mean, we've seen people like Ted Bundy or like Israel Keyes, and we're just like, holy shit, you know, you are a psychopath. But to Japan, this probably doesn't happen a lot, you know. They're very cultured, like I said, they're very respectful. So the fact that someone did this horrible, brutal fucking murder is crazy to them. So, while the judge spoke, and this is, while the judge was talking, and he was telling everyone the decision to sentence him to death, normally people would kind of get upset and start crying and like maybe freaking out a little bit like they're about to die. Not Shirashi. He was emotionless. Like, blank slate, nothing. So much so that the judge had to stop talking and ask him if he was still listening. And Shirashi just replied, yes, I understand. So he was so like unfazed that the judge even had to look at him and be like, "Are you even listening to me? Like, hello?" So like if that don't and it, I just if that doesn't tell you how much he don't give a shit about what he did, I don't know what will. Maybe this will. What he told the victims' families. Buckle up, because I got pissed. I was like, "You are such a monster. Do not rest in hell. Go straight to the pitchfork." Okay. Of course, the victim families got to get up there and say a few things, and he refused to meet their eyes, of course. Which another podcast that I listen to, Morbid, they're amazing. I love Alana and Ash. I know, like I said, I listen to a shit ton of true crime podcasts. I can't help it. I'm addicted. But they said in one of their episodes, and I 100% agree to, if you do a horrendous crime like this, it should be mandatory for you to look in the fucking family's eyes. Like, you should be able to look in their fucking face and see what you've done to them. Like, fuck you, dude. At least look at them and confront what you've done. But no, he didn't even look at them. He just mumbled an apology, which he didn't fucking mean it. It didn't mean anything. And when it was his turn to finally get up there and speak, because for some fucking reason the court system thinks that's a good idea to let the murderer get up there and speak, like they're about to be like, "I repent my sins and I'm so sorry for what I've done." Like, no. They're gonna fucking no. Okay. His words were horrible. And they were so far from remorseful that I wanted to punch him in the fucking face while I was researching this. But Satan's about to do that for me, so that's great. Okay. He looked at the families, the grieving families, and said, "I am sorry for having killed some of the victims with whom I spent a lot of time, and would like to apologize to these families." So that's not it, but a couple of the victims he spent a lot of time with, talking to, and got close to, and he's sorry for killing those ones. But for the others, I don't really feel a deep sense of regret. In any case, I am sorry only because I failed when I got caught. If I wasn't arrested, I will not be regretting anything. Can you believe that bitch? He looked these horrible, mournful, tearful families and said, "Sorry, not sorry. Like, I don't regret what I did, you know, whatever. I did it. Yep, that was me." Like, what kind of fucking monster do you have to be to look at these families and say, "Yeah, fuck you. I'm just gonna die." Like, I hate you. I hate you. So finally, the judge ended it with a death penalty, which I couldn't find a date for when it was happening. But hopefully, it's gonna happen soon, because the sooner we get rid of a scumbag on this fucking earth, the better we'll all be, right? Okay. One of the victim's fathers actually told the press, "The death penalty is a valid decision, but personally, I wanted him to get a life sentence over which he had no choice but to atone for his wrongdoings, rather than give him the death penalty he wanted." And honestly, I agree with that. I really do. If you don't, that's fine. It's whatever. But I honestly feel I would rather someone sit in a fucking jail cell and rot and think about what they've done to my family member for the rest of their fucking lives, then just die, take the easy way out, and then just like, I don't know, maybe go on to another life where they can start fresh, maybe fucking go to hell and be tortured for eternity, which that's great too, but like, sit in prison for a little bit. Think about what you did to the people. To the families, maybe get beaten by some fucking guards and inmates a few times and make everybody happy. Be great. But I do feel like death penalty is kind of an easy way out, and it's bullshit. It is bullshit. So that's it. That is the case. Like I said, there isn't a law on it, but we are about to start doing something at the end of each podcast. Excuse me. At the end of each podcast, I'm actually going to start doing a moment of silence for the victims, because that's why we do this. You know, we talk about the victims and we talk about, you know, the murders and what happened, but nobody ever takes a second to collect yourself after recording this and thinking about the victims. So, right now, I'm going to take like 10 seconds. Don't talk. Just maybe say a prayer for the families. Maybe, you know, just think about the victims and the life that was wasted. And we'll talk in a second. So, hold on, everyone. Moment of silence. Okay. Thank you. I hope you guys like that, because I mean, I keep going back to the Mary Bell case, and I know we said it a million times, but what the mom said of the victim was, it's always about the murderer. It's never about the family or the victims. And that just, it always stuck with me, you know, because that's true. So I wanted to do something at the end of our podcast every day to kind of give the victims a moment to remember the victims and remember what we just talked about, you know? So I hope you guys like that. Also, now that the stream is over, I have a few things I'd like to address. First and foremost, to go along with the episode we just did, I would like to reach out to all of you. If you are suicidal or depressed, I am so sorry that you have to feel that way. I am so sorry that there's something in your life right now that is making you feel like you don't want to do it anymore and you don't want to live on because you just can't handle it. I have been there so many times. I still get there sometimes. I like the last couple weeks, I have been so depressed to the point where I didn't get out of bed. I didn't want to get out of bed. Like, that's why the podcast has been suffering a lot lately, actually. I'm not gonna lie. And I'm so sorry for that, but I understand. I get it. And I have actually wanted to take my life a lot of times because I just, especially when I was in my abusive marriage before the one I'm in now, I wanted to die because I thought, honestly, that would be better than living in this hellhole with this piece of shit next to me, you know? But I want you to know that you are worth it. You are loved, and it will get so much better. You just have to hold on. You just have to stay strong. And I know that's hard. I know it is. But oh God, I'm getting emotional. I know that's hard. Okay, I know it is. I know it sucks sometimes, and I know you feel like maybe you're not as loved as much, but you are. You may think that there is nobody who's going to miss you, but there is. You have a few people that would just be wrecked without you, even if you don't think it is. Please believe me that there is. And you are loved. And you are worth it, and you are more than enough, okay? You may not get to see the rainbow right now, but damn it, you need to keep walking and you need to keep going because you will eventually, and it's going to be so worth it. So worth it. I found my rainbow, and yeah, every day might be a struggle after it, And every day might be hard, and you might have some days again that pop up like, hey, anxiety here, let's kick you while you're down. But you know what? You're gonna look at anxiety and say, you know what? Fuck you. I'm stronger than this. And you're gonna get back up and you're gonna keep walking. And if you need to talk to someone, I am 100% serious because I am that type of person. If you need to talk to someone, you have our Instagram at Wicked Wives. Give me a message. You have my Twitter, Wicked Wives. Give me a message. I am that type of person that I do not judge you because I know I have done some shit. I have done some shit. And I am no one to judge. I will never judge you because that is not my place. And I don't care if you're not hurting anyone. Do you, boo-boo? Do you? So I just want you to know if you need to talk to someone. If you feel like you can't do it anymore and you need the shoulder to cry on, or maybe just someone to listen to you, please message me. Please do. You won't even have to introduce yourself. You can just be like, hey, I feel like I'm gonna die and I'm in a hole and I'm drowning and I can't get out. I will be like, talk to me. No explanation, nothing. Talk to me. That's all I need you to do. Because if I can make you be here for one more day, then my life would have meaning and I would love it. So, you guys got me emotional. I knew this was gonna be a hard one because we were gonna talk about suicide and depression and shit. So, oh God, it's gonna be a hard one, but I'm serious. You are not alone. So please don't ever feel like you're alone. I also have a suicide prevention number if you want to talk to someone completely random and maybe a professional. So there's that. But you can also come and talk to me. You know, all my friends say I'm a great listener and I give good advice. So I'm here. I love you. I appreciate you guys. Please, please be safe. Please be happy. That's all that matters. That's all that matters in this life is if you're happy. So the suicide prevention number, if you really need it, and share it with your friends if you need it, it's 800-273-8255. Again, 800-273-8255. And that's the suicide prevention. So if you feel like you can't do it anymore, and maybe, because I do sleep at night, maybe I'm sleeping and I can't get your message and you can't wait, call that number. Please. I know it's a lot for you to step up and tell someone how you feel or step up and get help for yourself. I know that's hard, but please do. I promise. I will be so proud of you. And I am proud of you for making it this far without doing anything. Okay? I'm so proud of you. You are living. You are killing it. You are such a badass. I am so proud of you, man. Keep it up because you're beautiful. And I can't wait to see you in my next episode. Love you guys. Stay wicked.